Welcome to the DDT Archives. I am your host, Chris. With me, as always, is my tag team partner in podcasting, my best friend, everybody's best friend, Greg. Greg, what's going on, man?
How are you tonight, my friend? What's going on?
I am doing great. We have an amazing guest tonight in the Indie Lounge.
Dude has been everywhere.
That is the biggest understatement we have made on the podcast. This dude has been on your TV, on your YouTube. He is killing it on the indie scene. Our guest tonight is Adam Priest. Adam, what's going on, man?
Hey, guys. I really appreciate you having me on. We just had some technical difficulties. Now we're playing through it right now, calling it in the ring, I guess. So thanks, guys, for having me on.
Oh, no problem at all. I think we just got a hard way, and we're just going to work through it.
Yeah, I hear you.
You were just telling us off air, it's been one of the busiest weeks of your life. Talk to us about how things are just rolling along for you, man. Talk about killing quarantine. You are absolutely on fire right now.
Yeah, I know for a lot of people, unfortunately, quarantine in this last year has been the worst of some people's lives, but for me, it's honestly been the busiest, unfortunately, and I hate it for some guys, but you know, the indie scene took a hit and slowed down for a few months, but with social distancing and mask and everything, shows got kicked back going, and it's been the biggest year of my life in my short wrestling career. So it's really kickstarted some things, and I've gotten a little bit of momentum. It's been a crazy year, honestly, and it's getting busier as it is, you know, personal life and wrestling and on the road. So it's been a crazy year as far as 2020 can go, you know. So,
well, you also, I mean, right before quarantine hit big, you're on Raw, right? Or working WWE.
I did. I've done two NXT extra appearances, but that's the only thing I've done with them. That's about it on that end. I'm just now kind of getting the rub from Dark right now, but not much in WWE. Just a lot of the indie stuff and AEW, fortunately.
Well, that's where we're going next. The Dark. It seems like we have gotten the rub from AEW Dark. Huge. I don't know if they're listening to the podcast or what, but we've been very lucky. And talk about how they're like taking the best of the best off the indie scene and giving everybody these opportunities.
Yeah, that's something that I like to talk about, again, I appreciate y'all having me on. It always amazes me when people care about my opinion, what I got to say. I don't I don't get that much, but so obviously I'm biased about AEW, but I think the thing that they do with their extra talent and the young guys that they bring in from the indie scene, whether it be a guy like Warhorse or just anybody from the indie scene, they don't throw you in there and bury you. I'm not trying to shit on, you know, other people or other places, but they're going to show the talent, and they know how to pick talent and know what guys can bring it and what guys can't. And they don't just put guys in there just for shits and giggles. You know, they really, they pay attention and they give guys opportunity, and it keeps people from bitching and whining about, oh, I don't get this opportunity, I don't get that opportunity. When you get the chance, you better freaking do it, because they're going to give it to you at least. You know, some people go years opportunities. I fortunately have gotten some, you know, pretty early, and you got to make the best of them. And I think AEW gives that to a lot of guys and gives chances to a lot of guys. And I think it helps the wrestling industry entirely. Say what you want about it, about ratings or whatever. It helps having more dogs in the fight than just one. It helps a lot of everybody. I mean, it gives everybody a chance. And I just think it's one of the biggest things in wrestling right now. It helps everybody. So,
for me, I love watching Dark, because you get the glimpse of who's next.
Yep.
Right? Like, you know, we're Northeast guys. Like, so they just signed the Acclaim.
Yeah.
And those dudes were killing it in the Northeast Indies. And you know, you didn't expect to see them come out and win on Dark, and then all of a sudden it comes out that they're signed. It's just, it's kind of awesome as a fan for us to see like any given opportunity. If you kill it, they're picking you right up. That's got to be, as a performer, really rewarding.
Even for guys, you know, big social media guys, guys that have a lot of buzz, or guys like me that suck at social media and that might not have the buzz, you get on there and you might look a little bit different than the guys that they have, or you might have a different style. I'm not tooting my own horn saying that was me, but I'm saying if you can get yourself over, you're gonna get yourself over. And whether it's, like you said, the Acclaimed guys, or I think they just signed the Bowens guy and the tag team, like if you come in there, they know that somebody's going to pick you. I mean, they're going to get what they need and what they want. If you deserve a job, you're going to get a job. And say what you want about who's there and who isn't there and who's signed at these places and that places. Like, it's on you to get signed. You don't need to worry about everybody else. So they really do well with giving guys opportunities, like I said. So.
It's fascinating to me that they've managed to take a U their YouTube channel and their YouTube show to do literally real-time talent evaluation, gauge public, you know, gauge your social media and see what the fans are talking about, and it just helps you make a decision that much faster and really get the best of the best. It's brilliant.
It is, and the thing with Dark is, you know, WWE has so many hours on TV a week, right? And AEW's got the 2 hours, and that's what I grew up on. I grew up on a 2-hour Raw, and back when that stuff was good. And there's only so much time in a day, you know, we're on a show and week to week, and to make every single thing make sense, it's so hard to make every single thing make sense. And it isn't like Dark is getting 200 views on YouTube, and old people want to be like, oh, it's on YouTube. Like, it's getting hundreds of thousands of views, man. Like, it's not just off internet show or anything like that. I mean, they've got their top guys on the show, building them. If they didn't work on Dynamite that week, you've got your top. I mean, Eddie Kingston works on there. Ricky Starks, which he's a freaking star, man. I don't care what nobody said. Like, they've got their top guys on there. So it's not utilized just as a developmental program. You know, that's like people calling NXT a developmental program. Some of the best wrestlers in the world have been on there for 4 or 5 years. Like, it's they've got top guys on there. So it's not just, oh, these are our extra talent just going in there and losing.
I also think you can't call it an internet show when the video quality's just as good as it is on Dynamite. And you also got to assume once things start picking up again, it's going to be taped in the live arena. It's going to have a completely different feel. To me, that's the exciting part. Like, I do like NXT, but Dark, just it's cool for us on the podcasting end because we have seen so many of our friends get opportunities that you know they've been hungry for, and you're just like that. We've been trying to touch base with you for a while, and we happened to get you after you made your appearance on Dark. And you know, when you agreed to do it was literally, I think, the night after you made your Dark debut. And we were like, shit, all right, this is even better. Like, this is awesome. Like, the fact that you would consider taking time to talk to us.
Oh,
Like, so just as much as you appreciate us giving you the opportunity to come on, like, we appreciate everything you guys do. Like, we've been wrestling fans for probably longer than you've been alive. We've been watching wrestling since 1984. So, I mean, that should tell you how into it we are. Talk about some of the stuff that, like, the advice you got backstage at Dark, because I'm assuming when they're recording Dark, it's the whole crew is there, and you get the opportunity to talk to some guys. They probably give great advice.
Without getting too deep in the weeds and the details of stuff, I've been around some guys that I grew up really looking up to, and I've watched, you know, tens of hundreds of matches of guys that I'm walking back there with. And I'm a nobody right now, you know, so there's only a few guys I've talked to, but it means a lot. And they're some of the best agents they have in the business, which all companies have great agents. That's not, you know, being backhanded towards anybody. But you've got agents like Jerry Lynn back there and Dean Malenko, you know, Dustin Rhodes, which is one of my favorites growing up, and Dean Malenko, obviously. The atmosphere is great. I'm sure some people can bitch and moan about something, but me, I'm just happy to be there, and I sit there and shut up, man. So I can't really speak on the locker room or anything because I really ain't got a whole lot of pull there. I'm just happy to be there right now. So, but I'm happy as can be. I just get there and I'm working when I'm there, man. I'm just trying to pay attention and keep my mouth shut, stay out of the way, and do what somebody says, man. So that's about all I can speak on that.
And that makes perfect sense. I mean, you just dropped three names that we absolutely adore. Like, Jerry Lynn is in my eyes one of the most underrated and underappreciated professional wrestlers of all time. Dean Malenko is the greatest technical wrestler of all time, and I will go to my grave fighting that battle. When you get the opportunity to talk to the best, I mean, that alone right there, it's a learning experience. One of the things that fascinates me about indie wrestling is the travel that you guys do. Talk a little bit about, like, some of your most fun experiences on the road with whether it's being by yourself or with a group of people. And again, we're not trying to get you to tell any kind of dirt, just kind of like, whether you're talking wrestling, you're talking whatever, just talk about the opportunity to be on the road with friends.
Yeah, man, I don't know if I can't think of any exact stories right at this moment. Anything funny? I sound boring, but let me think. I can speak on the hours on the road. I know a lot about that. Stories, you know, I'm on the road with my boys like Chris Kronk and Cabana Man Dan and some of those guys. I mean, we get into some pretty – the biggest thing with me wrestling is you get in kind of deep talks. I can speak to just long hours, period. And I don't – it's not real funny, but I compare wrestling all the time. Me and my buddy Stick, we're big country music fans. I know y'all don't know anything about that up there, you know, northern guys. But
that's hurtful.
Probably true.
It's true, but I am a Yankees fan, so I do like the hat. That's about the only thing good up north. That's what I will say right now. Nice. So, but I can speak to the hours, man. And I compare, like I said, I listen to country music a lot, and a lot of Garth Brooks and George Strait and stuff. And it's just like wrestling is just like rodeo. And like people don't understand why you would drive hours and hours and hours for seconds or minutes in a ring, or 15 minutes or 8 seconds, you know what I'm saying? And you listen to a lot of those songs and they're so similar, and a lot of rock songs are like it too, talking about being on the road and, you know, all that stuff. Just being on the road, other than that, you know, being on the road with some of my buddies like Chris Kronk and Donnie Janella and Cabana Man Dan and some of those guys, Kevin Ryan and Sean Christopher, we always have a good time. That's when you have the most fun, probably. If you're not in the ring and just being on the road and hanging out and telling stories, I really can't think of any right now. I hate to fail y'all on that, but I can speak to the hours, though. People don't understand the amount of hours and money you lose getting on the road just to do a little thing, you know, so.
I'm glad you mentioned Garth Brooks, because I went and I watched his drive-in concert in July. It was incredible. It was so much fun.
He's incredible, but I don't know if y'all listen to other podcasts. I'm a big Your Mom's House fan, and they have an ongoing feud with Garth Brooks, and I think he's a serial killer. And that's Tom Segura and Christina Pajitsky. They're comedians. And I love Garth Brooks, and he's had the best concert ever that I've ever been to. But I do think he's a little freaking crazy. He's got a wild look in his eyes, so I'd look out for that.
Yeah, your take on Northern thoughts on country music is not – I'm not going to argue with it. Greg Mike is – I know Greg has a little bit of country music taste.
I am
a bro country guy. I will listen to, like, Florida Georgia Line. I will listen to Luke Bryan. I'm not into, like, that real deep country music. Yeah. It's just not – it's not what I grew up on, you know. Well,
that's the thing is when people, you know, shit on other people's opinions on music, it's like, it's about what you grew up around, you know, and what you understand. And now that I'm like on the road all the time and your old lady's missing you at home and your dog's at home and you're broke and you're staying up for hours. And it's like, oh, you know, every word in that song is what I'm dealing with this week. You know what I'm saying? And if you're partying or doing other things, other music, you know, relates to that. So it's just, I grew up in the South and, you know, on a farm and stuff and in the country. And so it's just what I relate to. But I'm one of those guys that's like, hey, I listen to anything, but there's nothing like late at night driving home music and like some, you know, rock and stuff like that. So.
Yeah. I mean, I jokingly tell people I have the music taste of a 14-year-old emo girl.
Yeah.
Like I have the worst music taste on the face of the planet, according to every human being possible, but I like it. And, you know, like, or there'll be other times, like I just built a home gym in my basement.
Yeah.
And the other day I was stuck at home working because of quarantine and my wife's upstairs teaching a class and all of a sudden I'm putting on Wu-Tang Clan to lift. She's like, what the fuck are you doing? I'm on a Zoom with little kids and you're talking about cash rules everything around you. Yeah. Oh man. I've started to love music as much as I never thought I would.
Yeah, I mean, I went from Willie Nelson the other night to Cardi B and Meg Thee Stallion. So I go from two different ends of the spectrum, man, so I understand.
I got a funny Cardi B story for you.
Okay. God.
So I teach at the high school she went to.
No.
And I was a dean and used to have to chase her sister around the building when she would cut class and cause trouble.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Her sister, Hennessy.
Yeah, I'm sure they're a handful and were a handful. You know?
I don't remember her, but her sister I will never forget.
That's crazy, man. That's crazy. Yeah. I'm becoming more of a Meg Thee Stallion guy, but I do love Cardi sometimes. So
yeah, teaching in the Bronx, there has to be some love for Cardi B.
Oh, bro, for sure. I don't know how we got here from road stories. I'm sorry I don't have any specific road story, but anytime I think of the road, I think of music. I apologize.
Don't apologize. This is what we do. This is exactly what we do. We find – so, look, I'm sure you're getting – especially now that you're blowing up, you're going to get a million podcast requests and everybody's going to want to know your dream match and all that stuff. We don't want to talk about that. Yeah. Okay. We want to talk about the stuff that other people aren't going to ask you. So yeah, talking music, we love it. I'm assuming are you an Alabama or an Auburn guy?
I'm an Alabama guy for sure, man. That other team. If you cheer for Auburn, I don't know what's going on, man.
I listen. I forgot Alabama was in the central time zone. So I, you know, don't worry. I do not root for Auburn. I'm a Miami guy through and through.
Yeah. So up there, do y'all have like Southern teams? Like, do y'all cheer for Southern teams? Cause there's not really a whole lot up there. So unless you're Ohio State.
I'm a University of Miami fan through and through since I was a little kid. And Greg can attest to that. I've been a Miami fan since I was like 2-3 years old.
And I'm a Notre Dame guy.
So you've had a rough 20 years.
Yeah, but my first 20 years, I had 5 national titles. Yeah, so I was like, I'm good still.
I hear you.
And I'm a Notre Dame guy from my grandfather.
You had a good night the other night.
I did have a very good night the other night. That was quite enjoyable. But
well, Trevor Lawrence didn't play. How many times have you heard that?
Well, you know what?
We just had that talk
before you came on, and it's like, you know what? You win the games you're supposed to win. You're supposed to beat a Clemson team without their three best defensive players and Trevor Lawrence. It's okay.
Yeah, and also it's like I hate that argument sometimes because it's like you think that backup quarterback getting good?
He's fantastic. He's going to be a Heisman winner by the time it's all said and done.
You think the backup quarterback at Clemson isn't good also? Like, give me a break.
No, man, because, yeah, my Notre Dame fandom goes to my grandfather, and he would drive – like, he would come over every Saturday, and I would sit on his lap, and he would tell me about, like, Newt Rockne and all these people, and then I was just hooked from there because they were always on TV.
And in New York,
you know, we don't really have that for college sports. There's not that much here when it comes to football.
Yeah, that's why I asked that.
Yeah, basketball is different. Basketball, you have the Big East was huge when we were like, now it's gone and different. But with football, it's like you kind of had to pick what you watched, and it was. Yeah. It was easy for me to see Notre Dame when my grandfather showed me Notre Dame games. Like, okay, here's my team. Like, thanks.
Yeah. Yeah. The older I'm getting, I'm starting to understand why certain states are so good, like, are basketball states, and why certain states are football. You understand it when you get older. It's like up north, it's basketball and wrestling, or it's, you know, it's different.
Well, when I lived in Raleigh, I was a restaurant manager and a bar manager. And like, I have the Yankees ALCS game on in the bar, and people are yelling at me to put like NBA preseason on.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, like get out of here. Like, I'm not watching games to count. It's the playoffs, man. Like, come on.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah. So it's different. Yeah. And then down here I'm surrounded by stupid Braves fans. So it's like the Yankees and Red Sox are like, oh, let's put on the Braves versus, you know, the Marlins or some shit. And I'm like, get out of here, dude. It's crazy.
So I have a question for you then, because, you know, Alabama-Auburn is one of the most famous sports rivalries ever. Do you miss good rivalries in professional sports now? Because I just feel like everybody's so buddy-buddy and, like, they get along and they want to play games together and they want to hang out. And it's all like lovey-dovey now in the pros. Do you miss that?
Yeah. Here's the thing, which, you know, I the older I've gotten, the more I've gotten into pro sports because I get the business. And so a lot of people down here shit on pro sports, which I don't understand. You know, I'm around a lot of the older white guys that are like, shut up and play ball. And I'm like, are y'all out of your – they don't get, you know, what's going on. But the biggest problem I do have is – yeah, like there's no such thing as Celtics-Lakers anymore. It's just, yeah, LeBron's playing some of his buddies that are in Boston. And it drives me crazy because my favorite sports time, it was the last bit of that. I caught the Rondo, KG, you know, Ray Allen, Boston teams versus those Laker teams. So I caught the end of that, and that was basketball to me. And I think that was the last teams that really – did not like each other. And I do miss that. I think there's still some of that in baseball. You know, everybody hates Houston now. But that's just because of the scandal and stuff. Like I said, I'm a Yankees fan.
The Rays still... now. The Rays have been the last couple of years, there's some juice there.
Well, me and my dad talk about that all the time. I go, if I'm buying a team, let's say I bought the Marlins like Jeter did, I'm going straight to the Rays. Whoever's their talent coordinator, whoever's their recruiter, whoever's a – because every year, every 3 years, they lose everybody, and they restock, and they're amazing. Regardless of what you want to say about, you know, the computer and the stats and all that stuff about how they coach, it doesn't matter. They've got great talent. So if I'm buying a team, I'm paying whatever I have to get the guys from the Rays. Like, whoever it is running the show, I know people know who the main guys are, but there's got to be some other people in there that know what's going on.
Yeah, the scouting department's off the hook.
Yes, it's unbelievable. Which the Yankees are good recruiters, and the Red Sox are a weird team. Like, every 2 years they are terrible, and then the third year they'll go to the World Series. So I don't understand what's going on in that franchise. The going back to the rivals thing, it does. I hate LeBron. I'm the most anti-LeBron fan there is. I don't know how y'all feel about him. He's a great and all great guy. Well, I guess I don't know that, but I'm just a guy. I'm just a redneck from Alabama, so I don't know. But I do hate how it's. I don't hate the super teams because. People are acting like there wasn't super teams before LeBron. Does anybody see the Lakers in the freaking 80s or the Celtics?
Five Hall of Famers starting.
But the difference was they were all drafted to that team.
Yes.
That's the difference. That was somebody doing a really good fucking job of drafting.
Working back channels in social media to be like, hey, in 3 years, we're going to play in this city. KD and Kyrie did with Brooklyn. This premeditated stuff is nonsense.
I know it is the game now, social, everything in life and in politics and in everything. So that's why people are like, oh my God, I don't know how the world is why it is today. It's because of the it's because of social media. It's changed everything. Everybody's buddy-buddy. But you are right about the drafting thing. Like, all those Celtics were drafted. The Lakers were drafted. So I don't hate the super team thing because it always has been a thing. But it does take a lot of the competitiveness out. But I love guys like Westbrook. I do love Westbrook because he still has that little bit of dog in him that he'll play anybody and he don't care, you know. So it is frustrating that some of the rivalry gets out. But it's still pretty strong down here in Alabama, though. So
Teaching where I do, I get into wars with my students who try to tell me anybody's better than Jordan.
Yeah.
And look, Kobe, extremely talented, great basketball player. LeBron, great basketball player. Michael Jordan would cut his mother's throat to win a game.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, that doesn't exist today. Very few people are still built that way.
Mm-hmm.
And growing up, that's what I watched. I can't watch the NBA for anything anymore. Because to me, I love the anger, the violence, and the defense of basketball that doesn't exist anymore because of the quick whistles and you know, if you tap someone, it's a technical or flagrant.
Yeah, and I get the argument with that about how the games have changed. People about the quarterback in football, there's so much money invested now. I get why rules change. At some point, it's like, I mean, I can get hurt if I'm making $300 million. I'll be okay. But the franchises and the owners, and I understand it, but it does get aggravating. But the kids now growing up, which I'm still a lot younger than y'all, but the generation, sorry, I'm not trying to bury y'all. I don't know.
It's all good. I am my age. All good.
But I didn't grow up with Jordan, right? I was just at the end. I was born in 96, so I wasn't old enough to understand. So I grew up with LeBron and Kobe. And, you know, kids like my nephew's the biggest Steph Curry fan ever. So at some point, it might be Steph Curry. Who's better, Steph Curry or this guy? You know, so the argument's never going to end. The LeBron-Jordan thing is the most worn-out subject, and I'm kind of to the point now because I didn't watch either one. Or I did watch LeBron. I didn't watch Jordan. But at some point, it's you can't compare the guys. The sport's different. I mean, it is the same sport, but – it's just different ways of the game being played. It's the most worn out argument ever is who's better, LeBron or Jordan. It's it's a never ending thing. So that's where I get frustrated with it.
And that's a lot like wrestling now, because you got guys now, and the styles are so different now than they were 20 years ago, 25 years ago. The body types are different because, you know, nutrition has changed and the levels of fitness and workouts and different things have so much changed. And it's comparing somebody now to somebody in the 80s, early 90s, it's almost absurd.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, and that's, it's so funny because, like you said, you didn't grow up on Jordan. Like that, like those things like that, and trying to have discussions with the newer generation about things. And you have, like, as an older, you know, near 40-year-old man, you have to, it's almost hard for me to, like, think, like, well, they don't, this is what they know. This is what they know. So you have to kind of think about it, like, oh, make your brain think, okay, let's talk about things that are, like, maybe, like, 2005 on and see where we are there.
I mean, the other piece that I love arguing my students about, they're sitting there going, LeBron, 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 but one of them's wearing Jordan 4s, one of them's wearing Jordan 1s.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, guys, you lost me with your sneakers. I'm sorry.
Yeah, if you want to go on, the only thing I say about the argument is, if you want to say who's the most freak athlete that probably walks this earth.
Oh, that's LeBron without any question.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I mean, and he plays differently than Jordan and the whole thing. So if you want to argue that, that's fine. But that's like being like, who's better, Tom Brady or Terry Bradshaw? It's like, nobody talks about Terry Bradshaw. He's got 4 rings. You know, he might have been the man then, but the game's different. And Terry Bradshaw, they would get brutalized in a game. I mean, absolutely beat to death. And Tom Brady, they make rules, you know, the Brady rule. I mean, they make rules for them, you know. And that's, I get it, whatever. I don't want the guys to get hurt either. But it's just how times change. And I think it's a lot to do with, you know, other issues. There's a swinging pendulum. And at some point, you know, we're so far this way, it's like, how good can guys shoot the 3? You know, at some point, things have to change because people are so good at certain things. You know, I don't know what I'm trying to make with that, but it's like it's a never-ending argument and rule changes and all that. So I think that has a lot to do with everything.
So let me ask you about the baseball rule changes that we've seen, that we saw this past year. Which ones did you like? Which ones didn't you like?
So what was the implemented this year? Because it was a weird year. I knew they were.
It was like the 7-inning doubleheaders, and extra innings. Like there's a guy on second.
I'm sure the guys don't mind the 70 innings. I mean, but I guess that, yeah. But to me, when you start doing that now, what happens to records? You know, I'm sure the guys don't like playing 180 games, and I think that's ridiculously too much. Because even with the pandemic, this is probably the most exciting season in years. And in the postseason, the last, 5 postseasons have been all fantastic. The World Series have been out of this world. I mean, constant drama, bat flips, people crying and whining, going to 6-7 games. I mean, so do you want to hurry up and get to that, or do you want to have a ton of games? So, like, I don't mind the 7-inning doubleheaders because I'm sure the guys might like that and get an extra few days off. I do agree with – I don't know if it was this year or last year – I do agree with a pitch clock.
Yeah.
Or, you know, something. I don't know how you do it. And I know the pitchers bitch and get mad about maybe, well, I get my routine too, and the batters want their routine, unloosening their bat gloves 4 times because I can do what I want because I get paid $500 million. Like, everybody's got their routine, and there's a disagreement with who gets to do what and all this and that. But I do agree with the pitch clock because with the attention spans of people now, you better be getting it going. And when I was playing baseball, which I played baseball my whole life, I loved when a pitcher worked fast because nothing's worse than you sitting out in the outfield or being at shortstop, twiddling your thumbs, waiting on your pitcher to freaking dig his perfect cleat mark and calling 7 pitches and shaking off, you know, so – I agree with that. I don't know about the guy at the other rule you said. What was you saying about that one?
Like with extra innings starting with the guy at second base.
Yeah, that's crazy to me. I don't understand. That's kind of the argument between college football overtime and NFL overtime.
Yeah.
It's kind of the same thing. It's like we can't shorten the field, but we'll put a guy on second. And it's like I don't agree with that one. I don't understand that one. I didn't watch it this year. I didn't see how it affected certain games. I don't agree with that one. There was something else implemented too, and I can't think of it. But I don't understand the guy at second thing. That's just
I love the like non-pitch intentional walk.
I agree too, because I like that one.
It's just like, just go. What are we doing?
which we had that in high school too.
Yeah.
But I think that rule was implemented, you know, because old school, it was like you couldn't bear, like a pitcher would not be like, I'm not going to throw this guy four pitches. They'd be like, I've got to throw it four pitches because I'm a man, you know. And it's like, look, if you're putting him on, you're putting him on. It's not a you're not a good pitcher. It's a strategic, we need a force out, we need something. Or Barry Bonds is up there and he's batting 900 against you. There's no point. And you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, yeah, I agree with just putting the guy on. We had that in high school too. I mean, we would have runner on third and we would walk two guys to get force. So I don't disagree with it.
You kind of tipped your hand about the football overtime. So having coached college football, which I did for a few years.
Yeah.
I hate the overtime rule as a coach because it throws everything you do out the window, especially I was a defensive guy. Like, I'm sorry, like short field, you're never winning. Do you prefer the NFL overtime rules?
I do prefer NFL overtime rules, but the fact that it's 2020 and a game can end in a tie is effing ridiculous. It's the stupidest rule in sports. What was the game? It was like week two and somebody ended in
the Bengals and the Steelers. Eagles, I think.
Oh, was it Eagles?
Yeah.
It's stupid. If you want to do some wacky rule after 15 minutes, if nobody scored, that's fine. But the fact that in NFL, I love the extra 15 minutes, but it can't end in a tie. What is the point of even playing? I understand you might have had to do that a certain way years ago. College football, I don't hate it, but for the rule to be what is it, after three overtimes you got to go for two?
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, why does it have to be three overtimes? Why can't that be from the jump? Or you know what I'm saying? What was it?
Yeah.
A few years ago, Arkansas and whatever had like six overtimes. There's no reason it should be six. I mean, you need to make a different rule. I don't know if it's you put them at the 50 and you each get one instead of the 25 or whatever it is. I don't know how you change it, but I don't like the college football rule. I prefer the NFL one, but also I don't like ending in ties.
Yeah. Like to me as a fan, college overtime is exciting. As a coach, I despised it.
Yeah.
Like it didn't make sense, you know, in terms of scheme or anything like that.
Exactly, because you might be you're a certain defense might not do good in the red zone or what, and you've been holding the team off all day, but you give them a token and they get within the 20 and it's like, well, now we're screwed. You know, we've been playing a certain way the whole game and now you're screwed, but I don't know what you do about it.
Yeah.
I have to say, we have turned around severe technical difficulties to have like the best sports debate we've ever had on the podcast.
Yeah.
We've been, and you need to understand, we've been waiting for this because we are both, I am a sports junkie. Like between coaching and playing sports my entire life, like wrestling is a close second to football in my life.
Yeah.
So the opportunity to have this discussion is just made my fucking night. I'm not even going to lie.
I love everything. If it's something, I will watch it. I love watching golf. I don't care.
I can't watch golf.
Whoa. I'm a big golf guy.
I will play golf. Yeah. I can't
golf
watch it.
It's more exciting than people give it credit for on TV. But
what I will say is, I think it's tough watching it, which is tough for me to watch a full baseball game. I'm not going to act like it's not tough. But now me watching golf, I'm watching like I can understand how good a certain guy is. Or like I'm a terrible driver. So, like, I'll watch every guy drive and just try to watch. And I just know how hard certain shots are. And it amazes me. But I'm not going to watch a whole tour. I'm not going to watch Thursday through Sunday.
Yeah.
You know, but I do love watching certain guys. And, like, I like watching Patrick Reed. He's such a dick. Like, the whole tour hates him. He's the biggest heel in golf. And, like, I watch Mickelson or Tiger, of course. But there's certain guys I like to watch. But I'm not watching a whole, you know, weekend. But But I'm sure there's a bunch of people watching, listening to this, like, God, I wish these guys would get off sports.
No.
But
I don't want them. I don't want them around. Screw them.
Yeah.
They don't want you
then. Yeah. I do want to talk about the Yankees for just a second.
Absolutely. Love to. Please
so
do. Y'all,
I know you're a Yankees guy. Are you?
Yeah, very much.
Okay. So I get a lot of questions. People hate me down here for being a Yankees fan. But and if my boy Bailey Blake is listening to this, I want to tell him, screw the Red Sox. But because
fuck Boston.
Yeah, fuck Boston. So – no, I grew up, my team was, which, like I said, I'm only 24. So in middle school and high school, I come up with the Robinson Cano, Derek Jeter, Brett Gardner, Curtis Granderson. Like that was my team.
The 09 championship team.
The 09. Yeah. Like Jorge, Jorge went to the junior college, right next to me, for a year or so. I love Andy Pettitte. That was my favorite pitcher growing up. Love Georgie, Mark Teixeira. So that whole team, Brett Gardner's my favorite player. So I grew up watching that whole team. So that's why
I'll tell you what, I've seen them win 5 championships in my life, right?
Yeah.
That 09 team was probably my favorite season watching a team because they were so much fun.
They were fun. Yeah, they were stacked, and people want to say whatever about the Yankees. Everybody buys players, but like that team was so stacked. That was like when Brett Gardner was like the fastest guy in the league. He would hit like a dribbler to second and beat it out. And that's why I used to love him so much. He played like Pete Rose, you know.
Yep.
Cano had the best swing in the world. Just that whole crew, which – and I wore number 2 because of Jeter. So, that's a obvious one.
I'll tell you what, I just – because I'll name drop somebody here because I see him at least 3 times a week. He eats in my restaurant and gets takeout. Okay. CeCe Sabathia. I see him all the time now.
I hear there's nothing, I know he's got some personal problems, but I hear that is the number one locker room guy. He's the man.
Very nice.
They had him come back for that one season and they really wanted to win it for him, but they didn't, and he's the man, dude. I used to love him. I know because he come here from Cleveland, right? He went to the Yankees from Cleveland. Yeah. I remember I watched him only for like a year at Cleveland, and I knew that we had gotten him. And he had a few good years, and then he had some health problems, but, gaining weight or whatever.
He's one of the few pitchers that can come from somewhere else and do well in New York.
Yeah.
It is a fucking curse.
And to be excited – well, and to be accepted, too.
Yep. I mean –
And he stayed.
He
it here.
He did. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, he just. Oh no, Mo put his house on the market.
Yeah.
House my ass.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a castle.
Like Bruce Wayne's house.
We grew up on the late '90s Yankees.
Yeah.
And I can actually argue that the best Yankees team was 95, and they didn't get the opportunity.
Yeah.
Because of the strike shortened season. That would have been
the 94 team was
disgusting. Yeah, 94 season.
They were disgusting. And that was before you were born, sir. Sorry.
Yeah. But that was the year. I was born in 96. Yeah, But my dad might have been watching. I don't know. So.
But those teams were so much fun back in the day, and like you watched all those. We got to see guys like his entire career, like guys like Bernie Williams is the first guy that I remember like seeing when he first came up and watched him the entire time. He was always one of my guys and I loved him. And then you got to watch all the, like you said, the core four, you were just remembered like hearing them for the first time.
Yeah,
and we have great memories of going to games and
to go all the time.
Yeah,
they used to sell $5 tickets.
Yeah, it was the best.
And we would get tickets and go and
sit in the bleachers and be fine.
Blast! Yeah. Absolute blast!
Not like that. You ain't getting $5 tickets anymore.
They're not as expensive as you would think they are, believe it or not.
Okay.
I mean, you're not going to get good seats for $5, but you could probably get decent seats for $15 for certain games.
They have
like
$10 days at the for the bleacher seats or whatever.
Really?
Like
okay.
Stream upper
okay.
deck. Like, there's no bad.
And
there.
Those are the better places to sit. I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
You know, like, you're not up high. You got a great view of the entire field.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if you've never been to Yankee Stadium, once the pandemic's up, if you're up north in the Northeast, we will go to a game with you, because if you're a Yankee fan, you're good by us for sure.
Dude, I would love to go. I've never been. I was wanting to go this year when the Braves played the Yankees. I was going to go with my buddies to the, you know, I think it was in Atlanta, but I never got a chance to go. I would love to go, man. So yeah, if things open up.
I'll sweeten the pot a little bit. There's a bar across the street that's like traditionally where we go before the games. It's called the Dugout. If you go to the back, their back bar room, there is literally a window to the Taco Bell next door. So you can just kind of stick your head in and order Taco Bell, and they give it to you. So that back room smells like old burritos, but it's such a cool place to hang out in before a game.
Cool.
And like
cool.
get your drink on before you head across the street.
For sure.
Yeah. I actually haven't gone in a long time. So the curse of coaching college football was that I never got the payoff of baseball season.
Yeah.
So while I was doing that, I stopped watching baseball because like I'd watch it from, you know, April to July, and I'm real into it. And then you get the, like, 2009 may have been their best run. I think maybe I watched the last game of the World Series. Like, that was it. Because it just didn't fit into my schedule. But, yeah. No, Yankees are – any Yankee fan is good by us for sure. Especially one from the South, because that's just fun.
It's rare.
Oh, yeah. We'll tell you some stories off air at some point about Yankee Red Sox lore, because I've told them on the podcast before, but I went to school in Connecticut, so it was pretty split, Yankees, Red Sox.
Yeah.
And that was in the heat of the rivalry.
Mm-hmm.
So, I got some funny-ass stories there. But, you know, let's kind of –
remember where you were, like, when A-Rod punched Jason Varitek. It was my sister's wedding. Like,
when fucking Roger Clemens threw the bat at Piazza.
Like it's the best.
Yep.
Well, my only remember where I was when Altuve put Chapman like seven rows high, you know, last year. So that's my one hated memory that I have.
All right. Can I tell that story then, Chris? Because this ties into that. I was home watching that game because I was at the game the night before.
Really?
I went to game five and I unknowingly had pink eye and gave it to my brother-in-law's entire office, because we were with his office's seats and I didn't know I had it.
Jesus.
And then I was home the next day because I woke up and I woke up Saturday morning. I was supposed to go to work that day and I couldn't open my eyes. And my wife's like, "You can't go to work, dude. Look at you."
Jesus.
And Jesus. So I remember watching that game in the basement. Like, and when DJ LeMahieu hit the home run, I'm shocked I didn't wake my kid up.
Yeah.
Because I screamed so loud. And then, you know, then Altuve happened. But yeah.
Well, I told myself for a year it was just because they're beating on trash cans. And then Chapman gives up another home run this year, so he's the problem. So
yeah, he's no Mariano Rivera. I'm sorry. It's
that's the problem. Like, we have this expectation that is just unreal.
Yeah, well, I just have a problem with giving up two postseason home runs that puts you out in 2 years in a row, and you grinning about it the whole time. Yep. That's my biggest problem.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, one of the hardest was watching the fucking Devil Rays.
Yep.
That fucking series killed me when Mo gave up that hit. But he had earned so much respect in his entire career that it wasn't like you were angry. You just felt bad for him.
Yeah, that it was that way.
That's what I meant. Yeah. What did I say?
You said the Devil Rays.
Oh, yeah, same shit. They came in the league at the same time. They both suck. All right, listen. Adam, we're going to start winding down here, and we'd love to have you back to talk more sports and maybe a little more wrestling. But like I told you, this is our deal. We don't talk a whole lot of wrestling because everybody does that. We want people to get to know you as a person and get invested in your career like we are, because like I told you, man, you're killing it. We're inspired by your work. You know, kind of tell people where they're going to find you in the next few weeks and, you know, plug your social media.
Yeah, man. Well, again, I appreciate y'all having me on. I know this turned into a sports podcast. Maybe we can talk more background and wrestling and stuff at some point. But like you said, that's not what y'all do, and I that's cool with me. I suck at social media, but I'm getting a little bit better. Just Adam_Priest. You should find me on Instagram and Twitter. I'm getting a little bit better at Twitter. I need all the followers I can get. Like I said, I'm not very good, but I do have some zingers every once in a while. I should, you might see me on Dark a little bit more coming up. Hopefully. I don't want to speak out of, you know, turn or anything. I am announced for this, this one coming up on the, what's the date today? The 8th or 9th today?
Today's the 9th.
Okay. Well, on the 10th, me and Sean Dean take on, Angelico and Jack Evans. So you'll see that coming up. I'm not sure when this comes out, but I'm just, you know, you'll be able to go back and find it on Twitter or on YouTube. But yeah, just Adam_Priest on everything. Just follow me, and I'll post any shows I'm on or anything like that, any podcast, and I'll definitely retweet this. Anything y'all have or post out, I'll try to remember to retweet and everything. So,
dude, we appreciate your time, man. Keep absolutely killing it. You know, we're proud to call you a friend and a fan. You know, like, you just keep doing what you're doing, man. You got the right attitude. You got the right work ethic. The great things are in your future, bro.
Again, thanks. Apologize for being difficult to get on here, and I appreciate, once again, y'all having me on, guys.
All,
I really do.
All worth it, my man. All worth it. I can talk Yankees baseball with you all day, man. Don't even think anything of it.
Yeah, man. All right. Maybe we'll have better luck next year.
You can follow us at DDT Archives on both Twitter and Instagram. You can follow me at Capo_DDT on Twitter. Like we say at the end of every episode, we're going to keep bringing you the best guests on the independent scene. And our lips to God's ears, our guests are making it huge. And soon they won't be on the indie scene. They'll be signed and doing big things. And Adam's right up there with them. And again, thank you so much, Adam. And we're going to catch you soon. And best of luck with everything.
Thanks, guys. Y'all have a good night. I appreciate it.